This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a podcast from Joy's jazz show, Bent Notes.
Tune in live each Sunday night
at joy.org.au.
My special guest tonight on Bent Notes is a Melbourne-based pianist, composer, arranger, musical director, radio broadcaster and educator. And I'm not quite sure how many more things there are in the list. But since graduating from NMIT back in 2003 with a Diploma of Music Performance, Adam Rudigier has been performing and recording, I believe, non-stop, whilst exploring his interest in the synthesis of jazz, funk, and more experimental music styles. He's a musician of many talents. Adam has just released his third album from his Bowie project. It's my pleasure to wish a very warm welcome back to Bent Notes. It's been a while. Adam Rudigier, welcome.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure anytime, Adam. Music in a time of isolation.
It's a little bit different, but it is definitely still possible.
What's been the most challenging aspect?
It's a bit different not doing live gigs, but I would say the most challenging aspect has been developing new material without being able to get together with the band and rehearse all in the same room. So it's a bit more like, you know, via correspondence, you send a carrier pigeon with some ideas, and a week later, 2 weeks, 3 months later, you might get something back.
Well, it's an interesting way to collaborate.
Yeah, it's like playing chess via mail.
Has there been an upside from your perspective during isolation?
I think so. I've definitely been able to make it work for me. The album that we just released from the Bowie Project was recorded all in isolation. I've been working a lot on writing new material. I repurposed some of my JobKeeper and bought a new synth. So,
I think I saw a picture of that.
It's a new synthesizer that's come out fairly recently, and it has a couple of very exciting features in common with a classic synth called the Yamaha CS80, which was prominently used by Vangelis on the Blade Runner soundtrack, of which I am a massive fan. So I've been enjoying the polyphonic aftertouch and the ribbon controller, and I don't want to get too much into keyboard nerd stuff, but it is a very awesome and sexy beast.
Does that mean your productivity has gone down while you're playing with all these beautiful new features?
Actually, to be perfectly honest, since I received it yesterday, I have had hardly any time to play with it because I've been editing a video that I shot for Brian El Dorado and recording bass parts for the next Lake Minnetonka album.
So
I'm looking forward to have, and I'm also working on my masters, which is the Bowie project is tied up with that. So yes, I've been busy, but I'll get to it.
I can add a few more things then to that list of what you do without any doubt whatsoever.
Actually, the funny thing is I studied film before I studied music, so I'm returning to my roots in a sense that I've been doing some video projects. Yeah, while in ISO. So Lake Minnetonka did two ISO videos, and this is the second video I've worked on for Brian El Dorado in the last few months.
What I have been seeing, quite a few interesting photographs on social media, your social media, many of them taken at night. And it's not just there's a pretty tree, we'll take a picture. It's, that's a building of some description or a corner of a building. And you've got little bits and pieces. It's very interesting and very engaging to look at. How do you find these amazing things, which are part of the everyday, and yet things that most of us just walk straight past?
Well, I think all artists function in that sort of way. They look at things in a, you know, particular individualistic way. I'm a huge fan of the aesthetics of German expressionism and film noir. And so when I walk around at night, I just see these fantastic shapes and shadows, and I love documenting them. You know, I guess photography is a hobby of mine. I'm not great with sort of film, you know, old school film photography, but I just go around with my iPhone, and I think it takes amazing pictures. And yeah, just try to capture interesting looking shapes, shadows and things.
Is there a link in terms of that creativity between your photography creativity and then your musical creativity? Is there something in people who have creativity in one field that just explodes into the other?
Yeah, well, I just think it's just an artistic creative mind. So I just love creating, whether it's visual art. I used to love to draw when I was in school, and music. Yeah, it's all part of the same kind of impulse. And I don't really discriminate. I just do whatever I feel like doing when I feel like doing it. That's called living the dream, David.
Oh, pleased to hear. It's a good dream then. We should have a chat, of course, about the new album, but let's have a listen to a piece first. Would you like to select a track for us to have a listen to?
Oh, sure. Okay. Let's have a listen to I Have Not Been to Oxford Town.
Oh, haven't you?
I haven't. No, I haven't. And neither has the character in, I think it's Leon that's singing that. There's many characters in the David Bowie album Outside, which our album is a tribute to.
Let's have a good chat about that very shortly, but let's have a listen to I Have Not Been to Oxford Town. My guest is Melbourne pianist and composer Adam Rudigier. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
On Joy 94.9, you are listening to Bent Notes, where my guest is Melbourne pianist and composer Adam Rudigier. Adam, we've just had a listen to I Have Not Been to Oxford Town. It's from your brand new album called Art Crime Inc., and it's part of your Bowie project. The album, I believe, has been released in celebration of another album called Outside. What was special about Outside?
Many things. For me, my personal connection to Outside, it was probably the first David Bowie album I got into in a big way. It's a weird concept album that has themes of, it's a noir detective story, it's futuristic, it's cyberpunk. So I just loved all those things about it. But for Bowie, it was a really interesting album because in the 80s, his work was pretty maligned when he went sort of really commercial with the album Let's Dance. He alienated a lot of his fans from the 70s, and his albums from the Tonight and Never Let Me Down from the 1984 to the end of the 80s were sort of like really maligned. I guess you've got the Labyrinth soundtrack in there as well. And so Outside in 1995 kind of represented some kind of return to the experimentation that he had done in the 70s. And he reunited with Brian Eno on that album as well. So it's a really weird, sprawling, dense concept album. So there's lots to sink your teeth into. And what happened was I knew months ago that the 25th anniversary of this album was coming up, and I was hoping we could put on a gig or something. And then obviously we are in the situation we're in. And about 2 weeks before the anniversary, I thought, oh my God, this anniversary is coming up and we have to do something. We're the Bowie Project. And this is my favorite Bowie record. We've got to do something. So 4 days later, we had the album recorded.
4 days?
4 days. We recorded the whole thing. We actually recorded the thing in 3 days. It took me 1 day to organize, to call people up and say, I need you to record drums for 9 songs. Tomorrow, and then we will do the bass on Tuesday, and then we'll do the woodwinds and the keyboards on Wednesday. And on Thursday, I met up with Miles Mumford at the intersection of our 2 5-kilometer radiuses, which turned out to be the car park of a Dan Murphy's. and I gave him a USB drive with the stems on it, and then he had a song ready. We launched a single 3 days later after that. Or 2 days later, called Outside, the title track of the album. Then we released the rest of the album the following week.
That must be some type of a record for getting a record recorded and out.
It was a record for getting a record recorded. I love that. It felt very whirlwind, but it, you know what? It didn't feel rushed. Like I set aside a lot of time, so I spent 14 hours on one of the days just recording all my parts and listening back to everything and just placing it all. And what's incredible is some of the parts with the saxophones and the bass clarinet were recorded without hearing what was going to be underneath it, because I wanted to have this dreamy quality. So sometimes I didn't let the musicians hear what they were going to be mixed in with. But it worked. It worked brilliantly.
That's a very interesting way of doing it.
The other cool thing that happened was the opening track on the album Outside is called Leon Takes Us Outside, and it's kind of a soundscape. So I said to Luke Carbon, who owns every woodwind under the sun, just go nuts and give me layers of this sounds, and here's some motifs that you can drop in. And he ended up recording oboe, bassoon, bass clarinet, piccolo, flute, Barry sax, and he made this amazing, like, cinematic soundscape. And I thought, I get to put my name on that and put it out. But Luke Carbon did an amazing job. And Phil Hader was the other sax player. He played tenor sax. We had Bowie Project regular Tom Mitchell on the drums. He recorded all his drum parts in his own studio at home, and Tom Flanady on the bass. So he's done some live gigs with us, but it's the first time he's made an appearance on an actual Bowie Project record.
In terms of giving them something to work with, did you give them any sense of the overall result you were looking for, or did you just give them a click track?
I made demos. So I made little demos at home, and then I sent the demos to Tom Mitchell so he could put his drums on, because it wouldn't have been good if I just gave him a click track. You need something to bounce off. And then what I did was I replaced each instrument one at a time. So Tom Flanady, he got the drums plus my demo bits. The sax players got Tom Mitchell, Tom Flanady, and I took the demo saxes off. So yeah, everybody was hearing sort of a backing track minus themselves. But there were some bits where it's just free improvisation and soundscaping and things. And what we heard in I haven't been to Oxford Town is there's sort of like the first half, which is the groovy part, and then there are these unreleased demo sessions where Bowie's band was workshopping the ideas for the album, and that groove that's like part two is taken from that. So I like to include Easter eggs for the super Bowie nerds, because I'm a super Prince nerd, and I understand that impulse, like how cool it is when somebody delves really deep and it doesn't just serve up the hits, you know?
Yeah, go a little bit more than just pop.
Yeah, and don't just do the obvious things, you know.
The project kicked off back in 2015, I think it was, at the Stonington Jazz Festival, when you released the first album in the series.
Mm-hmm.
The second was released 2018, 2 years ago. I remember chatting to you about that. The third this year. Is there a fourth coming along at some stage?
Well, you know what? There is, because I mentioned earlier I'm actually doing the Bowie Project for my master's. So the fourth album will be my master's project. And I've been working on it all year. But because the anniversary of Outside just sort of crept up on me, I made this whole other album as a sidetrack. So then I had to go into a meeting on Zoom with my master's supervisors the next week, and they're like, so how's the album coming along? And I went, well, I've actually just made a whole other Bowie project record that is not the one that you thought I was making, but I assure you I'll be getting back to that one now. So album number four, which was going to be number three but now is four because we have this extra one, is going to be called Strange Changes.
A
reference to jazz musicians, you know, playing the changes.
Yes.
Of course, as well as the Bowie song. We're working on really great cover artwork inspired by the cover of Herbie Hancock's album Sextant, but it's been turned Bowie themed now. It goes back to our regularly scheduled program of cherry picking Bowie from all eras, as opposed to focusing on one album, which we never set out to do, but then just the inspiration struck me and I like to do what I like to do when I want to do it. So that's what I did.
The fourth album is actually fully planned out.
It's fully planned out. It's fully arranged. I have another meeting with my master supervisors. Well, by the time this goes to air, I will have already had it. And yeah, it will be recorded pretty much instantly as soon as we can enter a studio. So we are literally just waiting for restrictions to lift, and it's all planned out, and it will be done by the end of the year for sure.
And released by the end of the year?
Yep. I'm going to release it as soon as it's ready. So there'll be two Bowie project albums in a very short space of time.
We're very well served then with the Bowie project this year.
Yeah, well, then now I have to come up with a new idea for album number five.
You do.
Maybe I'll have a little rest and I'll focus on some other things.
Is there another album coming up for 25th anniversary in a couple of years' time?
25th anniversary of another album. Mm. Well, there'll be plenty, but there aren't ones that I sort of relate to as much. Maybe when the anniversary of Black Star comes around, but I like our mission statement of just cherry picking from all the eras. I think it's really good because so many Bowie's catalog is so extensive. It's very hard for anybody who's not like a super duper fan to be across everything. So I hope that I'm bringing some of these amazing tunes to the attention of Bowie fans and jazz fans alike. One of the things about the project is we don't have a singer. There's no lyricists, no lyrics in this. It really is meant to spotlight the harmonic movements and the melodies and hooks to the tunes. So just sort of cast a different light on it than you get when you're listening to Bowie's voice and you're seeing the spectacle and the stage show and the costumes and the dancing and all that.
My guest is Melbourne pianist and composer Adam Rudigier. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, and that was A Small Plot of Land from the Bowie Project number 3 album called Art Crime Inc. And my guest tonight is Adam Rudigier. Adam, I believe that's your favourite piece, A Small Plot of Land.
It's my favourite piece on this record. But yeah, Small Plot of Land is a really interesting piece of music, and it has this frenetic jazzy groove. So it wasn't that hard to sort of turn it into jazz. So what I had to do is try and find my own angle on it. So I decided to make it. I don't feature the keyboard a whole lot, like my soloing and improvisation on this record. It's more of an ensemble album. But I decided to go a bit Mike Garson on it because he's a huge inspiration to me. He was Bowie's pianist for a really long time. He plays the incredible solo on Aladdin Sane. And I actually sent this record to him when it was done, and he got back to me with some really nice comments. So it was lovely to have that connection. He wrote our liner notes for the second Bowie project release, so I've had some dealings with him in the past, and he's a lovely guy and what an incredible virtuoso. So I got to sort of pay homage to his free jazz stylings and the things that he added to Bowie's music.
When you're sitting down to put these things together, Adam, and you're looking at the original arrangements, where is your mind in terms of saying to yourself, I'm not copying what's there, but I'm paying homage to it? So therefore, I'm arranging it to suit what I'm doing. How do you balance your thoughts in that regard?
Well, it's sort of different for each piece. What I used to do was I would try and think of what style of jazz would suit a particular composition. So I'd look at the chords and go, these are the sort of chords that you would use in a Latin bossa tune. So I might pair those up. But my process has changed over the three, almost four albums. So now I realize that if you just take the motifs and cut away, like cut to what you think the essence of the tune is, what is the thing about this tune that appeals to me? And I take that fragment and then I kind of throw a lot away. So like, for example, there's a track called The Voyeur of Utter Destruction as Beauty. And there's this whole melody part and I just didn't put any of that in until the end. And I put the outro of the song. You can hear the melody played by the bass. But I just had sort of a groove that was taken from the song. And I played a little bit of clav in there as well. It's really a process of editing and figuring out what you want to leave in. Because if you did try and replicate every single element of the song, it would be a cover song. And I'm sort of trying to deconstruct them in a sense. So I find the hooks. There's definitely hooks. It's definitely meant to be recognizable to someone that knows the song. But I just sort of like decide what's going to be in and what's going to be out. And that's a fun part of the process, is that actually making those decisions and listening through really intently and going, oh, that part needs to be in there. That's a brilliant little bit.
I actually left out accidentally a really great keyboard bit that I love in Heart's Filthy Lesson, and afterwards I was like, God, why didn't I notice that that wasn't there? I would have loved to have gone back, but it's out now. It's done. I have to do it live.
Number 5 album. Do it again. Well,
yeah, there might be a rerun of I'm Deranged, because I had arranged I'm Deranged for Strange Changes, and then I'm Deranged is on the album outside. So we've recorded that now. So I think I do have to do another version of it. Yeah, maybe we'll get into reruns, but a different interpretation.
I suppose if you are just playing a cover, then you're not actually stretching your musical talent to create something new, are you?
There's no point for me in doing a cover. Like for me personally as an artist, for me to cover Bowie and try to do it as Bowie did it, it's never going to be as good. We need to, you know, find a different way. And then sometimes, like Bowie himself didn't even like some of the mixes and arrangements. On the reality tour, he played a very stripped back version of Loving the Alien, and he said maybe it should have been arranged this way all along. So I think in some cases, if it's bogged down in like really overblown production, you can actually maybe improve on the message of the song, and people can hear sort of what's behind it a lot more. So I did a solo piano version, actually solo CP70 version of Through These Architects' Eyes, and I thought it was a really great flip to the, you know, the very produced, very multi-layered version that's on the Outside album. And I really enjoyed getting inside that. And I played things that I didn't expect. I listened to it back and I went, oh, God, this bit sounds like Brad Meldow. How the hell did that happen? I didn't even know I could do that. So it's a process of discovery for me as well.
Then we get to the artwork on the album itself. The image on the front of the album, the Bowie Project number 3, Art Crime Inc., it looks like an image I think we've seen before.
Yeah, so all the cover art of the Bowie Project albums is an abstraction of an iconic Bowie image. So the first one we referenced his sort of like bulbous pants, the stripes. The second one was the distressed Alexander McQueen Union Jack jacket from the cover of Earthling. And this time there's a particular picture of Bowie as Nathan Adler, the art crime detective, and he's smoking a cigarette. And what I did was I had my girlfriend Lara, she's an artist, and I had her render this in pastel, and we sort of abstracted it and zoomed in and cropped it so you just sort of see his mouth and the cigarette. And she did a couple of other works for it too. So there's one inspired by the opening title sequences of Lost Highway, which I'm Deranged also appeared on the Lost Highway soundtrack. And there's an image which was on the single of Wishful Beginnings where Bowie's clasping his hands, but he has extra fingers. And she's sort of done her versions of that. And the cover of Outside was actually a Bowie self-portrait that he did. Yeah, so she did her own version of that too. So that was all the artwork. And we're currently having a lot of fun figuring out what the artwork's going to be for Strange Changes. And as I mentioned, it's inspired by a Herbie Hancock album, not a Bowie album, because the flavors on that record are going to be way more like 70s Herbie and a little bit of New Orleans brass band as well. So it's an interesting juxtaposition.
Very much so. I'm looking forward to that one. Where can we get Art Crime Inc.?
It is currently only available on Bandcamp, on my Bandcamp page, adamrudiger.bandcamp.com. And there will be physical copies in the future,
good.
But for the moment, digital only. I'm looking forward to pressing some vinyl for this one, actually, because I just think the artwork is phenomenal and I want to see it 12 inches big.
Yeah, that's what we miss out on when we go to CDs. The artwork is nice, but it doesn't have the
Spotify.
Same impact.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, we won't talk about that one.
No. It's so, not on Spotify. If you want to stream it, Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.com. Search for Art Crime Inc., the Bowie Project, and there's a few more things there from yourself as well there on Bandcamp. Well worth looking at. Adam Rudiger, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me about your brand new album, The Bowie Project Art Crime Inc., celebrating the 25th anniversary of David Bowie's album Outside. It has been great to have you back on Bent Notes. I have loved every minute of chatting to you yet again, and I wish you every success with this album and the next one to come in the next very close time.
Thank you so much, David.
My guest on Bent Notes has been Melbourne pianist and composer Adam Rudiger. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Join us live each Sunday night on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.